Good morning to
each of you. Thank you for being here, for the family. Even though in some respects this is a sad occasion, at the same time the Lord gives us reason to remember we have opportunity to rejoice at the same time. For we do not weep like the world, for we have a hope that is rooted in Jesus. And we know that by the grace of God, Ed confessed that hope in his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And though he is not here physically, he is here with us, and he is celebrating the victory that we are waiting to celebrate with him and all the saints. I invite your attention to the order of service for this victory service. On page 2, we begin this Christian victory service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have come together to seek God's comfort in our sorrow and to rejoice in the promise of the resurrection. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you wept at the grave of your friend Lazarus, and you consoled Mary and Martha in their distress. Draw near to us who mourn for Ed, and dry the tears of all who weep. Calm our troubled hearts, dispel our doubts and fears, and lead us to praise you for having brought him to faith. In your rising from the dead, you conquered death and opened the gates to eternal life. Strengthen us with your word, and lead us through this earthly life, until at last we are united with you and all the saints in glory everlasting.
Amen.
You're invited to join in a hymn which summarizes the faith which Ed confessed, a couple of verses of "Chief of Sinners, Though I Be." We turn our attention to these words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul.
He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Thank you.
And so we hear these words of resurrection comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus gives us this comfort. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God."
He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
When Christ, who is our life, appears,
then we also will appear with him in glory.
We will be before the throne of God. Never again will we hunger.
Never again will we thirst.
For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd. He will lead us to springs of living water.
And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes.
Let us pray. God of all grace, you sent your Son, Jesus, to destroy the power of death and to open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we too shall live. Comfort us with your promise that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come shall be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Ed did receive God's grace, especially in his time of need. Ed was able to find comfort in the fact that his salvation was not dependent on what he had to do, but rather it was dependent on what God had done for him through his Savior and ours, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that salvation through Jesus comes with eternal blessings, which Ed is enjoying. A reading from Holy Scripture, Isaiah 40. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We can picture Ed putting on the full armor of God as Ed was a diligent student of the word of God. And by God's grace, Ed was able to stand firm in that word. Victory has been accomplished. A reading from Holy Scripture, Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite your attention to page 9. I'll look at Ed's earthly journey. Ed was born at home on November 25th, 1934 in Minnesota. He was the fourth of six children, baptized and confirmed in the faith on October 7, 1951. Ed became an orphan at the age of four. His siblings were separated and sent to live with various relatives in the Adrian, Minnesota area in the depth of the Depression. He excelled at school and developed a strong work ethic, laboring on rural farms and from a young age. When Ed was 14, he was placed in the loving home of Victor and Frances Sandegger on their farm in Hills, Minnesota. They were devoutly Christian, well-educated, and progressive farmers who made a strong impact on his life. Ed graduated high school in 1952 with honors, lettering in basketball, track, and football. He attended the University of Minnesota at St. Paul and was awarded a Bachelor of Science degree in agricultural education in 1956. In 1957, Ed began teaching vocational agriculture. In 1963, he implemented a vocational ag program at Wilmar Community College in Wilmar, Minnesota. Ed received recognition for developing this program, and it is still in operation today. He was awarded a PhD in 1969. Ed retired from teaching, and a new career in sales brought him out to California. He enjoyed the recreational vehicle sales industry, retiring at 74. Ed and his wife, Linda, traveled extensively, from glaciers to pyramids to major European countries and counting. They enjoyed their adventures immensely. Ed had a passion for genealogy. He researched his family history extensively. He loved to work in the yard, and his beautiful rose garden is a neighborhood landmark. Ed especially enjoyed spending time with his children and grandchildren. He wouldn't miss a family event, even in frail health. Ed is survived by his wife, Linda, son, Craig, and his wife, Laura, daughters, Joni and her husband, Anthony, Nancy and her husband, Scott, and Deborah, sisters Susie and Jane, brothers John, Mark, and James, granddaughters Tiffany, Alexandra, and Kelsey, grandsons Craig, Blake, and Dane, great-grandsons Austin, Dylan, and Leo, and great-granddaughters Nell and Rowan. O God, the Father in heaven, have mercy on us. O God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. O God, the Holy Spirit, have mercy on us and grant us your peace. Amen. I invite you to turn back to page 5 where we sing a verse, Lord, when your glory I shall see.
Thank you.
reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the 15th chapter. You think Ed was able to pick up what Jesus was laying down with these words? No doubt he did. Connected to the true vine, Ed was able to live and leave a fruitful legacy. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Dear family and friends, grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to hear these words from Luke chapter 8. Not sure if they are applicable to Ed or not. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." This is God's word. And yes, these words do apply to your husband, your father, grandfather, and friend. For the fruit of God's creation, thanks be to God. For his gifts to every nation, thanks be to God. For the plowing, sowing, reaping, silent growth while we are sleeping, future need in earth's unsafe keeping, thanks be to God. While Ed knew and loved the ins and outs of of agriculture. He also knew that it was not by the labor of human hands that a harvest would be able to be produced and be bountiful. He was well aware of the fact that we are dependent on God, our Creator, for such. I mean, yes, it takes common sense, it takes intelligence, it takes hard work, it takes skilled labor. They all play a role in producing a harvest, but at the end of the day, it comes down to God's goodness and His provision and His grace. Because if not blessed by God, then there is no harvest. And so with Ed, we can say, no matter the crop or the flower or whatever it might be, thanks be to God for blessing the harvest. Now Ed himself, not just physically, but spiritually most importantly, was able to produce a bumper crop. And this again, thanks to Jesus. And so with Ed, we would also say not only thanks be to God for the physical harvest, but also thanks be to God for the harvest in the soul, the spiritual harvest. Here too, as noted, Ed was able to produce a bumper crop, which we'll get into in a moment. And with Ed, we would not only say then that God is the provider of the physical, but also the spiritual. We recognize that with that bumper crop, physically and spiritually, God's hand in it all, and at the heart, especially of the spiritual crop, which we want to focus more so today, that word of God, that seed which was planted in Ed's heart, it was able to take root. I mean, Ed loved his Lord and Savior. It was a treat to be able to sit down with Ed, whether it be at a Bible study, after a worship service, or in the home, and talk about the Word of God, and just how everything in life connected to the Word of God. But more importantly, Ed was loved by his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when it comes to each and every one of us, an important truth to remember, it wasn't that Ed was so good that God called him out to be his own. I mean, Ed would admit, along with the Apostle Paul, that he was the chief of sinners, undeserving of God's grace and mercy in his life, undeserving of the Word of God to take such root in his life and be able to produce a bumper crop and to leave such a legacy that he left. And so thanks be to God that even though Ed was undeserving, just like all of us are undeserving, the Word of God took root in his heart and produced a bumper crop. I mean, Ed recognized that his life was not going to be on this earth forever. And we all have to come to recognize that fact, even if we don't like to talk about it, because we can't ignore it, because it happens every day. And that's why we're here today. We have to face the realities of life. Death does exist, because there is sin in the world. And the Lord has said the wages of sin is death, physical death, and more harming spiritual death, and even more so eternal death. And so Ed knew that his life here on earth would not be forever, but he wasn't afraid, because he knew he had a better life waiting for him, and a life that he could enjoy now already, because by the grace of God, through Jesus, he was able to be at peace with God. His sin no longer separated him from his Creator God, thanks to Jesus. And that's the same for all of us. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son, not just for Ed, not just for a few people, but for each and every one of us. And out of love for us, he allowed his son to be sacrificed, to take Ed's sin and our sin, all sin, to the cross where Jesus said, "It is finished, that has been paid for. You are now reconciled to God, your Creator. Be at peace now." And with that peace comes eternal victory. Ed lived the fact that we are more than conquerors now already. He didn't have to wait to heaven to celebrate that victory and live the peace. He was living it now, but he knew the full fruits of that victory wouldn't come until the Lord took him to his eternal home. And so we're really not here to mourn for Ed. He's enjoying the good life. We're here to ask God to comfort us, to keep our life in perspective, to say thanks to God for blessing Ed with that bumper crop, having the word take root in his heart as it did, all thanks to Jesus. And that word of God, which was planted in his heart, Ed saw the importance of nurturing that seed that was planted. He looked forward to coming to worship with his fellow believers, to hear the word of God, to confess his sins publicly, and to hear words of absolution. Yes, your sins are indeed forgiven. Don't forget that. And now for sure he's singing on key. And enjoying sitting at the feet of his Savior. But even here he was able to do that as the word was proclaimed. Even in his last days, you know, what was his wish those last few months too? To come back to church. And by the grace of God, he was able to do so. All because of that word of God, which took root in his heart and produced a bumper crop. And in order to keep it producing, he saw the importance of keeping it nurtured. I mean, he prayed for you, his family, constantly, because he wants to enjoy heaven with you. And so he left a legacy there too, how important the word of God is, not only for his life, but for your life, so that you can stay connected to Jesus, that true vine, and bear fruit that will last into eternity. And pass on not only Ed's legacy, but also your own legacy to the next generation. At the heart of that legacy is the ability to produce a bumper crop thanks to Jesus. I mean, Jesus uses illustrations of farming often in the Bible. I mean, we can relate to so much of that. And what a gift. I mean, what a legacy Ed left with that egg program. I know he was definitely proud of it, and rightly so. But again, he gave all glory to God for that. I mean, because you recognize, I mean, we can put seed in the ground, but there's so many variables. And Ed recognized that too when it comes to the faith. There are so many variables out there. Satan's always looking to pull that seed out, that word from our heart. And so that's why Ed wanted to make sure that he was always being nurtured in the word, to be able to recognize those variables, the temptations, and the devil's work in trying to root that seed out. And thankfully, the devil didn't win. Ed remained a child of God all the way to the end. And just with that crop in the ground, you put that seed in, but if you don't tend to it and give it the water and God blesses it with the light and so forth, there's no harvest. I mean, God has given us something living through our baptism, through the gospel, in the word itself. And if we don't nurture it, what happens? Just like that seed in the ground, it will die. So we give thanks to God, again, that seed in Ed was nurtured, and that we have the opportunity to have that seed nurtured in our hearts as well. Ed not only left that legacy, his most important legacy is you. Right? He loved his family. And he pointed that out not just by words, but also by actions. You can't put a price tag on that legacy, on that bumper crop. To God be the glory for that. Life is full of challenges, full of heartaches, such as now, but we are not left to work through them on our own, are we? As Ed faced challenges and heartaches, he knew where to turn to his Lord. And that's the encouragement that he would have for you today. Keep turning to your Lord for the ability to work through those challenges and the heartache, staying connected to the true vine. And as you are connected, you too, as with Ed, will produce a bumper crop, all rooted in Jesus, your living Lord and Savior. And so we can say with the hymn writer as well, as Ed would say and sing, "For the harvest of the Spirit, thanks be to God. For the good we all inherit, thanks be to God. For the wonders that astound us, for the truths that still confound us, most of all, that love has found us, thanks be to God." Whoever has an ear then, let him hear. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and minds as it kept Ed's heart and mind, rooted in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You're invited to join with me in speaking these words which serve as a foundation of our Christian faith, the faith that Ed confessed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise you for the great company of saints who have finished their lives in faith and now rest from their labors. We remember especially our loved one Ed Hartog, whom you have redeemed by the blood of your Son and received as your dear child through holy baptism. We thank you for giving him to us as a companion on our earthly pilgrimage. In your compassion, comfort all who are sad in this hour. Lord, in your mercy. We praise you for your love in Christ, which sustains us in life and death. In our earthly sorrows, help us find strength in the fellowship of the church, joy in the forgiveness of sins, and hope in the resurrection to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You do not leave us comfortless, but strengthen and care for us through your word and sacrament. You give us family, friends, and neighbors to help when there is loneliness now and in the days to come. Brighten our future with a firm trust in your promises and care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remove our fears and make us bold to pray with confidence as our Savior has taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We now sing How Great Thou Art. You know, it's even more beautiful than the roses along the driveway and in the yard, which, Craig, you helped nurture. The roses in heaven without thorns. God be praised that in heaven there are no thorns. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. With each and every one of you, especially you, Ed's family. The family has prepared a meal. You are all invited to our multi-purpose center, which is just a kitty corner from this building. Hopefully you can stay and meet with the family and share stories and memories and encourage one another. Again, thank you for being here.